In the NBA Finals, the Spurs and the Heat are each vying for their own version of dynasty status. Miami is trying to win its third straight title, and San Antonio is looking for its fifth title since 1999. Not many players get to be part of a dynasty, but James Worthy did. He played a critical role in one of the greatest runs in NBA history. During his 12-year NBA career with the Los Angeles Lakers, Worthy appeared in six NBA Finals and won three championships, and he's a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. James Worthy, welcome to Only a Game.
How are you, Bill?
Very good, thank you. At North Carolina, under Coach Dean Smith, you won an NCAA championship in 1982. Then the Lakers made you the number one pick in the NBA draft. So you went from a legendary college program to certainly one of the most storied NBA franchises. Were there similarities in how the Tar Heels and the Lakers pursued excellence and achieved it on the court?
Coach Dean Smith is where it all started for me. He really laid the platform for how to play the game, how to approach life, creating team, environment, chemistry. And then when I got drafted to the Lakers, a team that really didn't need me, they had just won an NBA championship with Pat Riley as the coach, along with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the great Magic Johnson. You know, it was a blessing because usually the number one pick goes to, you know, probably the worst team. So both teams had the brand of winning. Mm. I was used to that. I was used to team basketball, and that just propelled right into the NBA.
You were the NBA Finals MVP when the Lakers won the title in 1988, and your knack for clutch performances earned you the nickname Big Game James. In your view, what's different about players like you who perform especially well at the most important time in the playoffs?
You know, I always had the philosophy that you should play better during the playoffs. It's very difficult when you got Larry Bird on a Tuesday night, Dr. J on a Wednesday night, take Thursday night off, and then you got Bernard King on Friday night. It's a little tough. But when you have one team for seven games and you don't have to travel as much, you're rested a little bit more. And then it just seems like the bigger the game, that innate ability to just overcome the fear and anxiety and just work through it and do your job. And you go back to the days you were competing in seventh, eighth grade where you just didn't want to lose, you know, a game at the YMCA all day. Those things kind of come back to you, if you can tap into that.
Which of the two teams currently in the finals reminds you most of the most accomplished Lakers teams for which you played?
I would have to say San Antonio. They have a complete team. They can hit you in so many different ways. They have a system that year in and year out, it works. And Miami's proven that they have, you know, somewhat of a system, but I think they depend a lot on LeBron. They have a nucleus, but they haven't developed it like San Antonio has.
You played your entire NBA career in Los Angeles, and of course you've been a television analyst in L.A. for the Lakers broadcast for several years as well, so you're familiar with the territory. What's your view of the Donald Sterling situation and how things are unfolding for the L.A. Clippers these days?
I go back to an op-ed that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote that says this has been going on for some time. But until you hear it yourself, you know, until you hear it on a tape and, you know, you get a pretty good idea of how a guy speaks, and then it becomes despicable and sad. It would be extremely hard to play for anybody that thinks like that. So I was glad he finally got exposed in a way that we can get rid of him. I know it might be a little bit more difficult than some people think. There's no room for an owner like that, and really no place for any mentality like that in the NBA.
James, you played a small role for another franchise besides the Lakers, the television dynasty known as Star Trek. Tell us how you ended up playing a Klingon in an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation in 1993.
One of my favorite things before I went to bed in college was to watch an episode of The Twilight Zone and then Star Trek. I was just a big Trekkie back in, you know, high school and on up. Just looking into the future, you know, that little cool phone they had on their chest. Now we got, you know, now we got flip phones, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, as soon as we get warped, man, we're going to be good. But one of the producers of the show just happened to be a Carolina grad, Kleons are my favorite character on the show, and I got to be the tallest Kleon in Star Trek history. So I'm looking forward to going to a Star Trek convention here in the near future.
How high was the bar to get to be the tallest Klingon?
In the World Book of Guinness, man. It's, you know, 6'9" and about 6'10" with the big high-heel boots on that the Kleons wear. So,
finally, James, last week I spoke with your fellow Hall of Famer, David Robinson. I asked him a question I'd also like to ask you. Do you have a favorite NBA Finals memory other than just winning that you can share?
Beating the Celtics for the first time. You know, we had a really tough loss the year before in 1984. So 1985 is the first time the Lakers had ever beaten the Celtics. And not only was it for us, but it was for all the guys in the past that had never beaten the Celtics. You know, Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, and all the fans that had to suffer through all that. That was a big moment, and that would be my lasting memory.
You do realize that this program is produced in Boston.
I had no idea. I'll see you later.
James Worthy is a 3-time NBA champion, 7-time All-Star, and a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame as well. James, this has been a great pleasure. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
All right, buddy. Take care, Bill.
To watch highlights from James Worthy's Star Trek performance as Coral, the very tall Klingon, visit Facebook.com/OnlyAGameNPR and then tell us about your favorite TV or film cameo by a pro athlete. That's at Facebook.com/OnlyAGameNPR.